Amen. How many are ready for God to do something for you? Oh, you don't sound like it. How many are ready for God to do something for you? Yeah. I believe he will. I believe today is a day that God wants to do something in your life, something that's phenomenal, something that has not been done before, something that is going to change your trajectory on where God has taken you. I believe what you learn today will change the very facets of your mind, the facets of your heart. I believe it will give you focus on what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. And I believe that today God will give you a direction to walk, a people to walk with, and a mission to fulfill. God has a plan for your life, and there is a purpose inside of you that was born in you on the day you hit the earth. You are born on purpose. God made you with a facet in mind, a reason in mind, a problem on the earth. And God says, I can't just send another tree. I got to send another person, because the person can conquer anything. God put in you everything needed to solve this world's problems. If you believe that, put your hands together for God. You are on a mission. You are on a mission. You are on a mission. And we have to do something different than what we've done in the past to really grab hold of what God is trying to do now. The time has shifted. Old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things become new. You know, one thing I realize is that when people come to church, 9 times out of 10, you can get fooled, because when you pull in the parking lot, you'll see a lot of cars, and there's one person in the car. How many remember back in the old days, those station wagons? Come on, somebody, you know, the ones with the nice paneling on the side and the pull-out seats in the back, but they were metal. And you sat on those metal seats? Oh! How many remember those seats right there? Oh, yeah. We used to put everybody in that thing. We would have picnics. We'd put children on the top and drive away. It was incredible, because we believed we didn't go anywhere by ourselves. We went as a group. It was during those years the Brady Bunch came out. Who knows the song? Here's a story about a man. That's so bad. That's so bad. I can't believe you know that. You just dated yourself. Anyway, it was about two people that got together, and they said, you know what? We can be better together. When we unify, we're stronger than we are divided. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I need you. Turn the other side and say to them, they need you. We need each other. There's no way we're going to survive in this world trying to do it by ourselves. It's going to take unity. The change that needs to take place is that we've got to know we are responsible one for another. That the love of God demands, the love of God demands, the love of God demands that we look out for our brothers and look out for our sisters. It demands that we don't turn a blind eye to what's happening in this world. That it demands that when God brought you to this place called Frontier, that no one here is a stranger. Everybody's a part of the same family. Look at your neighbor and say, you my brother or you my sister. Don't get it mixed up. Don't get it twisted. I believe with all my heart, and I need you to hear me. I believe with all my heart that when God called me to do this work, he had a vision. God had a plan to bring each of you into the fullness of your destiny. It was long before we even had a building, long before we had anybody walking with us. It was just me and him in a room. And he said to me, Stephen, I want you to move to Central Florida. Well, I am going to create a multicultural church, and I want you to build it. So he sends me to Leesburg. I've never been on anything with the last name of Berg on it. I might have gone to Pittsburgh, but that's about it. I come to Leesburg, and I'm like, God, how do you want me to do this? And God says, I'm going to stun the world through a church out of Leesburg. Do you not understand how important you are? Can I share with you a couple facts so you can see why being here in church and being here in Leesburg is so critical? It's because, did you not know that Leesburg is the pipeline going all the way from North Florida down to the coast of Miami? And along that line are drug addicts, prostitutes, children that are kidnapped and made slaves, people that go down the coast carrying all kinds of evil, and yet God puts you at the point in the middle because he knew that you will be the filter and you'll stop what's happening and going through the city. What if you are the sanctifying force? What if you are the filter that God designed to be in the middle of Florida to stop all the evil that would seek to come through? What if your purpose is bigger than just going to your job and coming home, or going down the street and buying groceries and going home? What if you combined your hand with another person and they combine their hands with other people, you can become a human filter to bring God's righteousness back in the world? How many would want to be a part of that story? Ladies and gentlemen, you are already in the book, for it has already begun. The story didn't just happen today. We are already into the second and third chapter, and you didn't even realize your name was written in there. God has a plan for you. But in order for us to reach our full potential, we must understand what unity is. If you look around this room right now, there are people with different ages, some young, some not so young. Some skinny, some fluffy. Some with hair. And yet God, in his infinite wisdom, pulled us all together. All of us with all our hang-ups, our hurts. Some of us came as angry people, drug addicts, liars, thieves. God pulled us there because we were whoremongers. God pulled us in, and we were people who didn't have self-esteem, people who didn't trust. And yet he puts us in the same suit. And he begins to mix us up with spice of the word. And he begins to stir it up with the spirit. And how many know when you stir gumbo, it tastes really good? Some of y'all are like little pieces of sausage. You just flavor, you bring flavor to the church. God put us together, but he's stirring us up now. Because there are some of us that are all of our goodness is down at the bottom of the pot. And in order for the world to taste and see that the Lord is good, he has to stir up those of you who are at the bottom so you would rise to the top. We cannot do church or change this world by ourselves. Each one of us needs each one of us. And I want you to understand, if you write this down, I want you to understand what unity is. Write this. Unity is the state of being united or joined as a whole. The state of being united or joined as a whole. That one of us can't do all of it, but together, all of us can make a difference. I believe all of us together was designed to make a difference. When God made the vision of Frontier Church, here's what he told us to write, long before we had anybody in the building. He said, I want you to establish the largest multicultural church. Now, some people look at that and go, well, Pastor, why has to be the largest? Why can't it just be a church? You're about members? Are you about that? No. I used to think that. I said, God, I don't want to say that because it seems arrogant. God says, your idea of largest ain't mine. He says, when I say largest, that's because in your city, you're it. And I'm going to build one of the largest multicultural cities, churches in this city. And when I say large, that means more people are going to be touched by my spirit than ever before. So it's not going to be small. It's going to be large. He says the largest multicultural church that reaches the lost. That means in order for us to reach the lost, we have to be relevant. That means our message must be relevant. You can't go and beat people over the head with the scriptures. You got, and some of us know, how many like fishing out here? How many like to fish? Amen. Now I know who you are. I'm looking for something. Anyway, here's, you can't skin a fish till you catch him. Come on, somebody. You got to wait till you pull it in on the hook before you start talking about the clothes they wear and the tattoos and talking about the shoes and talking about all where you come from and how they act and how they talk. That don't matter. Catch the fish. Make them ready to serve somebody life. That's what we do. We reach to the lost. We stay relevant in what we're doing. Listen, we do hymns, right? We do hers. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. We do hymns, we do gospel, we do contemporary, we do crazy, we do all kinds of stuff. Why? Because there's crazy people out there. Come on now. How many crazy people really out there right now? Booyah! Thought I was kidding. Told you. All these people crazy. That's why God called me. You have to be relevant in this world to make a difference. And what God is saying is that we can't do it being divided one from another because of the color of our skin, because of our economic status, because of our age. All that doesn't matter. You were made one in Christ. We are united. When one of us hurts, all of us hurts. Our desire is to tell you what it means to be united. You know, when we started this church, it said a vision to establish the largest multicultural church that reaches its lost and serves its community. That means our job isn't just to sit on our gifts and talents, but to find a place to serve, to take all the nice ingredients from the bottom of the barrel, all in the pot, and stir it up because somebody needs what you have. You've been hurt in your life? Praise the Lord, because somebody been hurt just like you, and they need to hear your story, how you made it out. You got wealth? Praise the Lord. There's somebody that's poor that won't make it unless you're kind to them. You may have ability to talk or be an administrator. Somebody needs what you have, and you can't sit on it. You've got to give it out. All of us need to give what God gave to us to somebody else. You wanted to find out what your destiny is? You want to find out what your purpose is? The best way to do it is to give something to someone else. And the moment you do, you go, oh, I didn't know I had all that gifting. I didn't know that was in me. Wow, here, give another one. Oh, I didn't know I could sing. I didn't know I can, people trust me. Oh, when you give, you become. Say that with me. When you say it again. You become more of what God has called you to do. So we serve our community, and this is the kicker. How many was in service last week? Wasn't it crazy? Come on, no. I said, wasn't it crazy? Woo! Man, God took over the service. God, now listen to me. We couldn't plan what happened last week. But God knew last week was our fifth anniversary. Ain't that amazing? He celebrated our anniversary for us. But here's the thing. We want to build this kind of church that reaches the lost and serves this community. But listen, last week was a lesson. And it was a lesson and a point that was being made by God. Here's the last part of our vision statement. And experience the presence of God together in unity. Can we say this together? To experience the presence of God together in unity. Again, to experience the presence of God together in unity. See, the presence comes when we are unified. That's why we say unity, the key to the presence. When we come unified, loving on one another, not hating each other, not having animosity or anger, not forming cliques, but we realize all people belong in my clique. Everybody in this church is in my clique. That I don't click outside this clique. Come on, somebody. This is my clique. This is my tribe. Listen, guys, this is our tribe. We fight for each other. We stand for one another. We see each other in the streets. Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, what's happening? We are a tribe of people that God has brought together to stand side by side, back to back. So no matter what the enemy can do, we can fight one for another. I'm going to tell you, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll get up and pray for each one of you. I'll get up and pray and call you by name. Why? You're in my tribe. You belong to my life. This isn't just church. So many times when we go to church, we think of like this. Well, if I'm not happy with the music, if I'm not happy with the songs, if I'm not happy with the pastor, I'm just going to leave. And you don't realize that you joined a family, not a congregation. Come on now. You don't just get up and dip because your children are connected. Sometimes we get so angry because somebody hurt our feelings. I'm taking my toys and I'm going home. But you don't understand that people are watching your life and they see you just give up. And they go, well, if he gave up, I really thought he was somebody. I'll give up. If he can't do it, I can't. Listen, we're not a congregation. I'm your brother. You're my sister. We are a family and we must stick together. Don't let trouble come. Something happens to one of our family members, we don't abandon them. We have a no gossip policy in this church. Don't come talking to me about somebody else. That's the one time you'll see Pastor Steve get angry. Hey, Pastor Steve, did you hear? No, I didn't hear. What? What? What you gonna say? What? Because I know if you talk about them, you're gonna talk about me. Come on now. I don't like that. How many in here ever been talked about? How many enjoyed it? You enjoyed being talked about? Good night, everybody. In this church, we have to be unified in every way. And then the presence of God will enter in. Let me say this. Every great revival begins with love. Every great revival will begin with love. This is how men shall know that you are my disciples, by your love one to another. Can you love the person behind you? Take a look. Take a look. Wait. Oh, don't you hate when that happens? All you see is the back of the head. Oh, I did it again. All right, look to the person to the right of you. No. God dog it. Just look at somebody. I feel you, girl. I feel you. Yeah, I didn't think it could happen to me, but it did. Do you have their back? Can you pray for them? Can you remember them? Can you say, I'm going to whisper some words in heaven for their sake? Colton is one of the most amazing young men I've ever met. Colton lost his wife, but Colton stayed strong. He went through some things. It's hard for Colton. It's tough. But I want you to know, I love you. You matter to me. And what happens to you happens to me. I love you. Every one of us belong to one another. It may be your first time here. And I'm telling you, you ain't got to come 10 times. You say your family, you're in. That's how we roll around here at Frontier. That's what we do. I want to show you, he says, that we need to experience the presence of God together in unity. Revival happens when we learn to love one another first. Why is that so important? Because God is love. You want more God? Give more love. That's the key, that we love one another even as Christ has loved us. And when we started this church many, many years ago, we started 5 years ago, and we started with love, and we grew from there. I'd like to show you a clip of what's been going on for the last 5 years. Team, can we do that? Let's take a look at our church since the beginning. Thank you. Let's give God a hand. 5 years, baby. 5 years of life change. 5 years touching people's lives and you touching ours. God is awesome. God is awesome. Listen, have your seats. We're almost closing out. Now, I want to say this to you as we get ready to close, and there's something I want to do real quick. I want to read this text of Scripture. Unity will bring the presence of God into this church. We can't do anything without Him. This is not the work of men. This is the work of the God of the universe who loved you and brought you, and He is the one who does all that you see. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to read 1 through 3. And we will pick up next week. But I want to read this verse as soon as they get it up on the screen. And I want to say this. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord. Listen to me. I am a prisoner for serving the Lord. I'm incarcerated by choice. I beg you, lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Verse 2 tells us, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Please make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Every one of us will make mistakes, but we are unified because we still love the same Jesus and we follow the same vision. Verse 3, everybody say it with me, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. When there is peace in the church, when the gossiping is out, when the infighting is gone, when the worrying about titles is no longer, when we don't mind coming and giving of who we are, that brings the Spirit of God into our church in peace. I adjure you to follow me over these next several weeks as we talk about unity, because it will propel our church to a national level when we do this. Not because we are good, but because we obey. We must be unified in order to get to the next place that God is calling our church to. And we can't get there without you. Come on, let's give God a great hand clap of praise.